I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. It's a pleasure to welcome Victor Davis Hanson of the Hoover Institution to comment on something that weighs on those of us who admire baseball as the American game, the celebration of the return of springtime, the summertime, the boys of summer, all of that compromised by poor decisions made by political actors these last days. I'm thinking of the remark by the president following the Georgia legislature passing new laws to make voting easier, more sensible, more up-to-date for the people of Georgia. The president of the United States, quite oddly, declaimed that decision as something that comes from the very, very unacceptable past of American history. He called it Jim Crow. He then added the modern metaphor on steroids. It was inaccurate. It was wrong. It was an unacceptable remark by the president. And yet, Major League Baseball then made a decision to move the All-Star game from Atlanta to Denver. We all know this well. The puzzle, and Victor, I put the puzzle to you, is who is sustaining this poor decision? There's not much of an argument anymore that the president misspoke or overstated or commented in a fashion that we now understand as false. But Major League Baseball has access to the same news we have. The people of Atlanta, the small businesses of Atlanta, the minorities of Atlanta are damaged by this decision. Denver doesn't need the business. It's doing very well. Can this be reversed? Why isn't it being reversed? Who's holding this poor decision in place? Good evening to you, Victor.
Good evening. I think they're kind of in a standoff, John. I think that everybody quietly knows the decision was rash and had no logic to it, that it didn't benefit African Americans, that it was incoherent, and that other states had more restrictions than did Georgia on voting IDs. And that a lot of CEOs were not necessarily happy that they were entering the political arena. But once they cross the Rubicon, they don't know what to do now. They don't know whether there's going to be greater damage in persisting with their decision, or they'll look weak and foolish if they go back. So they're just going to let it ride out and hope it goes away. And again, it's based on this premise that 70% of the people who support voter ID requirements or do not want open borders or want tracking, and I could go on, are more passive, more quiet, more concerned with local affairs or families than are the 30% that support these progressive agendas that control Silicon Valley, the media, universities, Wall Street, corporate boardrooms, professional sports, etc. So they're caving to where they think under the pressure from the perceived pressure.
I want to back up our pickup truck over this baseball one more time, because I've assembled some facts thanks to Mario Grady at the Wall Street Journal. In 2018, Major League Baseball negotiated with the Cuban regime to employ Cuban baseball players with the caveat that their salaries would be garnished by the Major League Baseball and sent to the Cuban regime. The Trump administration stopped that effort by Major League Baseball to compromise human beings, turn them into indentured servitudes, and go along with the Castro regime, which is an unacceptable brutality. However, I add this fact. In 1999, Bud Selig, the previous commissioner of baseball, sat in a game with the Baltimore Orioles and a Cuban team with Fidel Castro. And in 2016, you know very well, you wrote about it, March of 2016, Barack Obama and the First Lady sat with Raul Castro in Havana enjoying a baseball game. The puzzle here is Major League Baseball is found out to be completely, completely illogical about its way of dealing with dictatorships, hence they're trucking with China now. The American people know this, Victor. So you're saying that they're afraid of reversing this decision because it's not virtuous? Good heavens, they've compromised themselves for years. So will pressure bring it? Should we keep talking about it no matter the game, all the way to the Major League Baseball game? Is that going to move this story in some fashion that's positive? Because right now it's a series of negatives and hypocrisy and irony. I understand irony, Victor, but this is baseball.
Yeah, I think collectively traditionalists don't organize or make their voices heard. personally, John, I haven't had a Coca-Cola in 30 years.
Yeah.
I haven't watched an NBA game in 10.
That's cool.
I haven't watched a Major League Baseball game in 4. I will now not fly Delta if it's possible, but I'm not the type of person who's going to tell people to do that. That's just an because I'm tired of them. I'm just going to make those individual decisions. If everybody were to do that collectively, then they might respond. But there's a larger issue, unfortunately, here, and that is a lot of these corporations look at a globalized, interconnected world of 7 billion, and they look at a traditional audience of either white America or assimilated in the sense that their ethnic or racial or gender identification is of little importance to them in the sense that doesn't guide their ideology or voting. And by that, they say, you know what, that's a static market. If we're the NBA, it's China with $5 billion a market. If we're Delta, we have new China routes. If we're Coca-Cola, we've got bigger markets abroad than we do at home. So in this new way of thinking, they feel that not only should they sort of write off a domestic market, But to the degree that they can attack America, to the degree they can call it racist or imply that it is, that there is such a thing as whiteness and it's toxic and white supremacy, that resonates with the other 7 billion people on the planet. They want to hear that. They like the idea the big nation took a fall, that it's racist. And so they're looking in this domestic conundrum, they're looking beyond it to a much bigger market because they don't consider themselves American. They consider themselves citizens of the world, and that's based on a commercial decision. They don't really care about the Uyghurs. They have no concern about Hong Kong democracy or what in the world's going on in Tibet. And their way of thinking, if I sound woke, and I attack the traditional American citizen profile, then a person in Mexico or Bolivia or Southeast Asia, or they're going to like that, and they're going to eventually be a bigger market, and that's what they're aiming for.
And so you believe there are new stories now of hundreds of executives or dozens of executives signing documents that seem at this point non-controversial and nonpartisan. They're encouraging voting. That's easy enough to encourage democracy and voting in this country. But you believe that the White House, after that statement, will pay no penalty then. We'll leave it there. Everybody's for voting rights. Everybody's for opening up the polls. Everybody's for procedures that are transparent. And the White House does not have to explain how it remarked unacceptably following the Georgia's legislature. And as you have noted in interviews, it wasn't just Georgia. Wasn't it 40 other states that the president slammed?
He did. But Joe Biden says what he says. I mean, the president said there was not one vaccination given when he took office. Or he said that Vladimir Putin was a killer. He may be a killer, but you don't speak loudly with a twig. And Vladimir Putin immediately put 27,000 Russian troops on the Ukrainian border. The media didn't say a word about any of this. So much of what Joe Biden does is not just that he's cognitively challenged sometimes, but there is no media deterrence. He knows that at any time it'll be whatever he says will be contextualized, exempted, excused, repackaged, modulated, massaged by the mainstream media. But when he says something about Georgia and somebody points out the obvious hypocrisies, that's somebody's a voice in the wilderness. And he knows that, and that's why he does what he does. If he faced any of the media scrutiny of Donald Trump, he would either implode or very quickly adapt and be much more sober and judicious in what he says. But he doesn't face that at all.
Do you believe that there is merit in continuing to protest the decision by Major League Baseball to point out how Major League Baseball has disgraced itself over these years with dictators and that this present decision was poorly made and should be reversed? Is there merit to continuing that, Victor?
Yes, absolutely. This is the great awakening. It's never going to stop until people, according to their station, make their voices heard. If you're a non-tenured part-time teacher, you obviously can't challenge it openly, but you cannot go to a major league baseball game. And when their attendance falls even further, they're going to be exposed for what they are. And remember, these are very, very wealthy people. And there's also this medieval exemption. The Delta CEO makes $17 million. I think on an average working day, that's about $65,000 a day. And for him to be the voice of the oppressed or the voice of the excluded is just a bunch of hogwash. But he does this because he wants to be exempt from saying, oh, wait a minute, you're a white male and you have all this privilege and you make all this money and you go to the Augusta Masters golf course and you do this. And so he thinks, you know what? This is a taking out a personal liability policy. So I say a few words at others' expense. I'm exempt and the wave passes over my house.
Victor Davis Hanson, a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution. We're going to the border next. Victor, for years, has educated me about the troubles south of the border in Mexico. But right now we're talking about a tragedy of a scale that, to my knowledge, has never existed before. There's a column coming from Central America, and it's heading to Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California. And right now, the Biden administration is out of good ideas about what is to be done. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network.